Okay, let's get into this week's Parsha Shir, Matos Masei, Tavshin Peivav, as we finish up, and Chazak Chazak for Sefer Bamidbar, the tumultuous, somewhat, Sefer of Bamidbar, the ups and the downs, the first half of the Sefer, which had so much, complaining by Klal Yisrael, and now we get into the last year, the last months of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Aaron and Miriam have already passed on. Moshe Rabbeinu is now by himself, the triumvirate, he's the only one left. And the last couple of mitzvahs here in and commands in Sefer Bamidbar before we get to the last 6 weeks of his life when he talks and gives Sefer Dvarim as the last instructions that he gives. So we start off with the beginning of Parshas Matos where we have the story of the Nedarim. Vayedaber Moshe el Roshei HaMatos. Hashem says to the heads of the tribes, Levnei Yisrael Lemar Zeh Adavar Shetziva Hashem. This is the thing that Hashem commanded. And we have the Parsha of Nedarim. We know at the end of last week's Parsha, there's already a pasuk stuck in there to make sure that we don't think that Moshe Rabbeinu heard something from Hashem and didn't tell Klal Yisrael. So after the whole second half of Pinchas, where we have all of the karbanos listed and commanded from Hashem to Moshe, so the pasuk has to say, in Paraglamet Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Moshe el Bnei Yisrael, Kachal Asher Tziv Hashem es Moshe, and Moshe told Bnei Yisrael. Now we have, Vayedaber Moshe el Roshei HaMatos, right, the prakim, Perek Beis. Our parsha starts with Perek Beis. Maybe this is a remez to the fact that the prakim come from non-Jewish sources. So you see that you wouldn't want to start a parsha with pasuk Beis of a Perek. Obviously, the previous pasuk really had to do with the previous discussion, and this is a new. So there is a drush. There's a drush quoted from the Karban Ha'ani. Karban Ha'ani is quoted here in the Turei Torah. That's from Yaakov Katina, a Hasidic Rav from Hungary. And he says, Al Derech Drush, how you read this pasuk. Vayedaber Moshe el Roshei HaMatos, Hashem says to the heads of the tribes, Libnei Yisrael Emar, to tell Bnei Yisrael the following, Zeh Hadavar Asher Tziv Hashem. Right? They should say, this is the thing that Hashem commanded. What's the pshat? Moshe Tziv el Roshei HaMatos, She Yilamdu Libnei Yisrael Omar, Al Kol Pula Vasiya. Every action, every activity that a Jew does, it should be Zeh Hadavar Asher Tziv Hashem. Hinni ose zos lechvo shmo yizbarach. I'm doing this l'shem Hashem, like a hinni muchan mezuman, for every act that I do, every act is l'shem mitzvah. K'nisa b'shulchan arach, like there's a whole simon in shulchan arach on this, simon reish lamed aleph in arachayim. Amru chachamim, kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. All of your actions should be for the sake of heaven. Sha'afilu dvarm shal reshus, k'gon ha'achilu ashtiyah, even eating and drinking, any type of activity that you might not label as obligatory or forbidden, but it could all be looked at in the context of the Shem Mitzvah. V'chol tzarfei guvcha, you kulam avodas baracha, all the tzrachim of your guf should all be in the context of serving your Creator. Im achal v'shaso lahana aso, eino meshubach. Right, if somebody eats just for their own benefit, so then it's not praiseworthy. They're just eating to eat. But a person should have kavana to eat and to drink in order to keep himself healthy. Just whatever you do in life, the Shulchan Aruch continues. If it's for my own covet, my own needs, everything should be l'shem shamayim. Everything in our life should be in the context of Avodas Hashem. And then he quotes the Chovas HaLevavos, which is an amazing comment. You have to see if all the other Rishonim agree to it. But the Chovas HaLevavos says, there's no such thing in life as a Dvar Rishus. No such thing. The Chovas HaLevavos knows the Gemara. There's Melchemes Rishus, Melchemes Mitzvah. There's a Chiluk, the Gemara in first Perek of Masech HaShabbos discusses, if you go out on a journey before Shabbos, there's a difference between a Rishus and a Mitzvah. So he obviously has to agree to that idea halachically, but in a deeper sense, in a hashkafic sense, every single thing we do is either a mitzvah or an avera. Because if we're supposed to be doing it, if Hashem wants us to do it, then it's a mitzvah. If it's eating, if it's exercise, if it's spending time with our family, if it's making a living, right? So these are things that if Hashem wants us to do, then it's a mitzvah. And if Hashem doesn't want us to do it, and it's extra outside of our avodas Hashem, then it's an avera. So really, there's no such thing as a dvar reshus in our lives, says the Chovas HaLevavos. Again, it's extreme, because the Gemara does talk about Rishus and Chova, but if he says, he quotes it, She'ein b'chol ma'aseh b'nei adam d'var shel Rishus, Ela o mitzvah o aveira. V'zeo shenemar, that's what's mentioned, actually, first he quotes the pasuk in Shlach, V'ulam chai ani v'imali k'vod Hashem es kol haaretz. The Kfod Hashem fills the whole land. Kol chiyusai v'sha'ashuai, shekol ma'asai yoshei aretz, yirak l'man Kfod Hashem. That's what the Karban Ani says, and that's what it's alluded to in this pasuk. Moshe tells the Rashi Amatos to tell Bnei Yisrael, Lamar, to always say this and always live this way. Zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem. Oh. Good. So we continue. We continue and we talk about the next war that Klal Yisrael fights. All right, Paraglam and Aleph, after we have Paraglam, which is all about Nedarim, Hatara, Hafara, Hataras Nedarim, as the Mishnah says in Chagiga, is Parachin Ba'avir. Maybe there are hints to it. It's not Beferish, unlike Hafara of the husband and the father. And then we have, Aydam Hashem Moshele Mar, Nekom Negmas B'nei Yisrael, Mesa B'dyonim, Achar Teyasef Alamecha. Go take revenge for the Midyanim. The terrible things that they did to you, they caused you to sin, and then you will die. Teyasef Alamecha. And Moshe turns around and acts right away. As we know, Chazal tell us that he didn't hesitate at all. Rashi quotes, Ava Bisha Shama Shemisaso Tluya Badavar, Asa Besimcha Velo Icher. Even though he heard that his death was dependent right after this, this is the last thing he's going to do. He did it Besimcha. He knew this is what Hashem wanted him to do. So, Vaydavar Moshe La'am, Hei Chaltsu Mei Yitchem Ar Hashem Letzava. Get people for the army. Get people together. Ve'yu on Midyan, and they'll be on Midyan. La'seis Dikmas Hashem B'Midyan. Elef Lamate, 1,000 per Shevet, 12,000 altogether. Tishlechu Letzava. Ve'yimasru Me'alfa Yisra'an Elef Lamate, 12,000 Elef Chalutzei Tzava. And they go out. Moshe sends them, and he sends Pinchas as the chief of staff. Osam is Pinchas ben Elazar ha-Kohen la-Tzava, u'klei kodesh chatzotro satshu biyado, and they fight Midyan. So something that we might have commented on many years ago, but I gave it to you again this year from Rav Soloveitchik, and I added on one other source. Rav Soloveitchik writes about this idea relating to the army, and we've had a lot of discussion over the last couple of years of Am Yisrael taking part in the battles and defense of the state of Israel. And the Rav Soloveitchik obviously lived through the founding of the state and the first couple of decades. If you ask me, how do I, a Talmudic Jew, look upon the flag of the state of Israel? And has it any halachic value? Halachic value of the flag. I would answer plainly, I do not hold at all with the magical attraction of a flag or of a similar symbolic ceremonies. Judaism negates ritual connected with physical things. Right? The Rav writes many places, anything not connected to the Ksav of Torah, right, is Tashmisha, it's not Tashmisha Kedusha, Tashmisha Mitzvah, so if it's used for a mitzvah. But Rav Soloveitchik felt that the flag, though, has a certain sanctity in a sense. We'll see more symbolism even deeper. Nonetheless, we must not lose sight of the law in Shulchan Aruch. This is how he connected this, finding a law out of far-fetched, but he connects it. Shulchan Aruch quotes it Yeridea and the Shach to the effect that one who has been killed by a non-Jew is buried in his clothes so that his blood may be seen and avenged. As it is written, right, quotes a pasuk in Yoel. In other words, the clothes of a Jew, and Rachman al-Islam, somebody is killed al Kiddush Hashem, so he's buried in his clothes, right, as is. There's no tahara done. The Chever Kadisha knows this, just as is. So that could scream up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nekom Nikmas Hashem, as the pasuk says here. How much more so is this so of the blue and white flag, which has been immersed in the blood of thousands of young Jews defending the country and the population, religious and irreligious alike. The enemy does not differentiate between them. And our chayalim, our precious soldiers, do not differentiate who they're defending against. Everybody who lives in the state behind them is defended and is protected. It has a spark of sanctity that flows from devotion and self-sacrifice. Right? That is the idea that he writes. He quotes also that the Rav said, the Rav was once visited by a student who served in the IDF who asked the following question. He worked in the tank division. His job was cleaning and maintaining the tanks. Often his uniform would get covered in oil and grime. Did he have to change his clothes before he davened mincha? That was the question. He emphasized it would be possible, but inconvenient and difficult. The Rav looked at him and said, why would you need to change? You're wearing big day kodesh. You're wearing holy clothes. We have to recognize that even if there's something that doesn't have inherent kedusha, it's symbolic of mesiras nefesh. It's symbolic of something deeper. That's Rav Soloveitchik. We quoted that many years ago. So this year I'll add from Rav Zalman Melamed, the Rosh Yeshiva in Beit El, I think. And he writes in his Sefer Lazman Hazeh, which are his drushes that he gave on Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. So he also discusses the flag. This is from a number of years ago. He writes, "Bizman ha'achron anu edim l'tofa'a mitza'eres." Right, he says, Kama ba'alei mechoniyot sh'atlu ap mechoneim. He says people don't deal properly with the flag. Right? People don't even realize what the flag is. Right? Some young folk from certain communities, disgrace and defile and tear, and besides being mazik, somebody else's property. But he says, what does it symbolize? Well, what does it symbolize for the enemy? And then we'll know what it symbolizes and what it should symbolize for us. Line 5. Mamisamel degel hamadina be'ine ayveinu. What do all the Arabs think when they see an Israeli flag that is planted on a mountaintop overlooking their land? Ayve Yisrael hanilchamim b'medina v'rotzim l'hashmida. All of those that want us, that surround us and wish that we weren't there, they want to destroy us. Be'inayim shalahem degel medinas Yisrael misamel asa she'ifa shal am Yisrael lashuv la'eretz Yisrael. That flag symbolizes the Jewish people coming back to the Jewish homeland. Lirushalayim, laharabayis, lesalik mishamas hamizgadin. It symbolizes that eventually we want to remove all the avodah zarah in the land. Livnos by harabayis as beis hamigdash, the ultimate goal. Lekabetz as kol am Yisrael, leeretz Yisrael. Kibbutz Golias, for all Jews to come back. Uliyashavas am Yisrael, bekol rachve eretz Yisrael, to settle Jews all over the country. Zu hamashmos shel hamedina b'nei avenu. Our enemies see that flag and they see all of our hopes and aspirations and goals. Heim ron bedegel shalanu degel shel she'ifa lachzor li'er chevron. L'shuv li'ericho, l'shchem, le'beit el, l'chom erchave Yehuda. V'yalkein heim muchanim l'kroas ha'degel machmaz b'chamazam. Our enemy steps on the flag and rips up the flag because they reject any of our aspirations. Heim ron bedegel Yisrael b'tui l'she'ifa shalam Yisrael. The flag symbolizes what we've been doing for 2,000 years. We've been continuing to follow and exist. They see the waving of the flag as a declaration that the Jewish people are here to stay. That's exactly right. It's exactly right, and they can't deal with it. They feel that they're losing because of it. They don't know the first Rashi in Chumash. It's against their she'ifos. Every time they get an Israeli flag, they'll step on it, they'll rip it, and they'll destroy it. Many different groups, he says, are enemies, and Rahman al-Islam, even within our own people, there are those that are extreme on various groups that painfully destroy. So he says, we have to recognize, right? This is a flag that's L'Shem Shamayim. It's a flag that symbolizes, as Reb Soloveitchik said, the Mesiras Nefesh and the dedication that we have and the hope and the Ratzon and the stage of Geula that we are involved in. And as we talk about war in Midyan, we recognize the present war that we have been involved in for so many decades and realize the symbolism of the flag. Okay. Moving right along. The next element to discuss regarding the milchama. So we have here Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get ready for the war. And we have, Moshe says to the Am, get Anashim Latzava. Anashim Latzava, Anashim Latzava. And later on we have another description. Bnei Yisrael are called Anshei HaMilchama. Right, so there's the tzava and anshei hamilchama. So the alderach Jewish a little bit. Right, he says mitzvah hamilchama. The pasuk says in pasuk yudalad. So the Nesiv Shalom here discusses those two phrases. Vayikrivu Moshe apkudim asher la'afei tzava. Sorry, alafim v'chulu avodecha nasu. This is after the war. Va'alangsiv anshei tzava bazazu ishlo roi levaer inyan beis halashonos. Says the Slonimer. I want to explain the different Lashonos is halalu anshei hamilchama v'anshei hatzava. I want to explain these two phrases. V'lama b'divrei sarei ha'alafim k'siv avadecha nas'u es rosh anshei hamilchama v'yachar kak k'siv anshei hatzava demashba l'chara kiluhim inyanim chalukim. Are they two ideas? They're both army. They're both soldiers. What's the difference between anshei hamilchama and anshei hatzava? V'chem b'tzarach b'yir b'amra anshei hatzava b'zazu ishlo l'sheman nechta b'tora. What is the Torah trying to tell us? What's the Torah trying to tell us? V'yesh lomar. So he says an idea, again, which we could take out of this and apply to our lives. V'yesh lomar. Inyan anshei hatzava v'anshei hamilchama al derech ha'avuda. It means al derech drush. Quotes from the Beis Avram. Sha'achim ha'kadoshim, the two brothers, Rav Elimelech v'Rav Zusha. What should be the starting point of Avodas Hashem? The normally Melech and Reb Zusha. Haim migadlus haborei, or mitokach yagia l'shiflas atzmo? Do we start with the greatness of Hashem and that will lead us to recognize our position under HaKadosh Baruch Hu? O sheyaskel mishiflas atzmo, or we start with how lowly we are. Umize yagia achar kalkalos haborei. And then we'll be able to get into the gavlus of Hashem. V'nichlasu l'shol, that was the machlokas. They went to ask the Rebbe, the Magadim is rich. V'amar lohem, he says, you're both right. Elu ve'elu diri lukim chayim. Achadera chabetucha b'yoser, but the safer way, he says, the safer way to act is v'haskel mishiflus atzmo, to focus on my lowliness in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, that's really, conceptually, theoretically, where we should start. Like people say, you can't fall from the ground. So if you focus on the ground, there's only one way to go up. That's theoretically what should be first, but it doesn't work for most people, said the Magid. And says Hasidic thought. We're all full of sin. Kabbalos. Even though we were makabal a lot of things, and we're going to do this, we're going to be better. Chozer v'nechshalim. We can't stands by my decisions. So if that's what we focus on, we're not going to get anywhere. We're just going to fall into oblivion and just be depressed and not accomplished. We'll fall and we'll never get up. So you got to start with the opposite. You have to start, says the Magid, for most of us, you have to start with Gavlus Habore. Gavlus Habore, but it's a modified Gavlus Habore. It's a Gavlus Habore, but that also focuses on me. Right? He continues, what should be the way that we look at Gavlus Habore? So he says a couple of lines later. Line 42. Kimamar maranas mislanim. Musar Hashem b'ni al tim'as. Shahamusir Shakarish Barhu Omer Lu Yudi Hu Bini. Musar Hashem Bini, you're my son. Hare Hincha Bini Ben Melech. Al Tamis Atzmacha. Al Timas, don't be disgusting in your own eyes. You're a prince. Ain Zem Matim Le Ben Melech, Shayyim Maluchlach, Vishiyasa Maisim Shinim Ruyim Le Ben Melech. No, what? The Ben Melech shouldn't be Maluchlach and do things that are not appropriate. That's something that could be shayach to everyone. Gavlus Habore, how great Hashem is. But you know what? We're children of Hashem. We're His sons. Shehu chelek alokam imal. Umuser ze nechla b'gavlus Habore. Part of Gavlus Habore is that He's the King and I'm His child. Kishu mizbonin eich shehu kolka karov l'Hashem yisbarach. Ubanim atem l'Hashem akech l'Hashem yechata. The way that I approach, like Aaron Cohen used to do, Chazal tell us, and people used to say, Aaron's my friend, Aaron believes in me, of course I can't do any sins. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my friend, and Hashem Hashem is close, Hashem is all the way up there, but I'm close to Him, so that's something that I have, that's give me chizik. V'ech yachda, v'zua eitza gam lazeh, shenimsa b'shvala madrega. Says the Nesiv HaShalom now on the second column. This is what we have to, if somebody who feels lowly, shem yaskla mishifla zasbo yipo b'yish, we can't. He says, and especially in our dar, you can't focus on the lowliness. Recognize who we are. We're the Ben HaMelech. He says, maybe that's even a conversation that took place between Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. What happens? He quotes, she grabbed his beged. Beged from Lashon Begida, treason. V'hainu, she'tafsa oso be'begido sa v'tonalo. Hari b'enkei bagantak far harbi pa'amim Hashem Yisbarach. She grabbed his baggage. She grabbed his begidos. Yosef, you're not perfect. Yosef, you made mistakes. Maybe you were a little arrogant to your brothers. Maybe you weren't so sensitive. Maybe you shouldn't have said it that way. So what's the big deal? So you do one other thing. You'll do one other thing wrong. Right? You're a shuffle, but you're lowly anyway. What does Yosef answer? Eineni gadol bebayis hazeh mimeni. No, this, what, which, Pashup Shot, right, Paro has raised me up. There's nobody greater except him. Bechinas Gavak Dusha. No, Yosef is saying, no, I believe in myself. Ani ben amelech. Vein godlem imed, there's nobody greater than me. Vich es arah gdola azos v'chatasi leilokim. Vayidei Zeh Nitzal. That's the Lashon. That's the Pasuk. Moser Hashem Bini Al Timas. Moser Hashem is recognize your Bini, you're my son. And don't be disgusted in your own eyes. So he says, with all that background, we get back to the Anshei Hatzava, Anshei Tzava, and Anshei HaMilchama. Different levels. It's all spiritual categories of people. Anshei Hatzava, Heim, Elu, Sheilem, Yitzharim, Chazakim. The Kfarinim, Omdim, Milchama, Kashim, Yitzharim. Anshei Tzava are people who have already been through the battle. People who won. People who don't have that constant fight. Even though the Gemara says there's always a fight, just that the line, the Bechira point has moved on, like Rav Dessler says. But there are those that have conquered. Him anshei tzva Hashem ho'ovdim tamil Hashem yisbarach ba'asei tov. Right, the asei tov, that's the anshei hatzva that are always serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the tzva shamayim, like the armies of the angels in heaven, lucham ishtachavim. But then you have those that are the Anshei Milchama. Most of us, right? We're in constant battles. We try, we fall, we win. Right? We're battling. We're fighting. Right? What did Nasu? We lifted up. The Anshei HaMilchama. Shehi Ramnu es Roshem Shal Anshei HaMilchama. Lo Nifkan Mimenu Ish. Right? We've tried, even though they're battles. The point is to lift them up. Line 36. Shehi Rimu Osam Idea. Derech Shal Gavlus Habore. Vishal Musar Hashem Bini Al Timas. That's how we have to focus. That's how we have to work and bring up the different types of warriors that we have in our people. It says in Asiva Shalom, that's what's alluded to in these two types of people who are fighting for Hashem, the Anshei HaMilchama, and the Anshei Tzava. And he continues, but we're not going to read the rest for now. Okay. Moving right along, so we have the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven towards the end of the Parsha. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, they come to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gets very angry. Perek Lamed Vez. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and says, you're doing misleading again, the Meraglim. If you look in the Midarkei HaParsha, source 5, page number 3, so Rav Greenberg here, Greenberg is the Rosh Yeshiva Emeritus of Keren B'Yavne, he discusses, B'chol dar avodas egel hazav tisaviv shivron luchos ha'edus. He quotes a line from Rav Kook. In every generation, there's a little bit of cheta egel. A little bit of Cheta Egel. The question is, Cheta Egel? We're involved in Cheta Egel. Pitgam ze kasav erav kuk l'chodesh tamuz. Hadavar ma'orer plia. Amnam, Egel azov garam, we know, chodesh tamuz, that's Egel azov. Yuzayin betavim deshtaber aluchos. The Egel caused the shviras aluchos. Ach ma'u apesher shal b'chol dor. There's an Egel worshipped in every dor. Haim b'chol adoros ovdim le'egel v'nishbrim luchos. Where's the Egel in our generation? We don't do Avodah Zarah. The Parsha Mesupar, says Rav Greenberg, Moshe gets very angry at Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Chazal osifu, shelafichach him galu tchilo kol shvatim. Chazal even added, right, that they went into Galus first. Mi garam lahem, sheafrishu asma min achayim b'shel kinyanam. Right, the Bamidbar Rabbah. What was it? The Torah says, what was it that caused them to stay? What's the first words in the section? Umikne Rav. Hayal Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven Atsum Ma'od. Their assets. Uma Garam Lem Lefrosh Lezachal Bnei Achayim Hata'ava Lirchosh. Right, and that's what the Pasuk says. He quotes in Mishlei. L'taiva Yivakish Nifrad. Right, when there's taiva as a focus of the assets, so then that's going to be Nifra. That's going to separate, right? That's going to separate, and that's what Lot separated. Gam on the bottom, Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, shechibavu as hamamon, hefrichu asmam yachem v'differ d'mehem. The focus on the assets, on the gashmias, so that caused them to separate from Achenu, from all of us. Hefrichu asmam yachem v'differ d'mehem. Moshe lo yatsa negdam, al shedo agula osram. Moshe wasn't against that concern Judaism is not neged riches per se, right? If somebody is well-to-do, Judaism is not against that. He must not get this rak lekach shehamomon hofek lios tachlis atzmis. If it's an ends and not a means, that's what Judaism is against. Lo em soila davar gadol yoser. Somebody wants to make a lot of a certain amount of money, be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to support their kids, to get staka. That's all okay, but one has to make sure. Amar lahem Moshe, asu as ha'ikar ikar, that's a tafel tafel, right? Like Chazal say about putting the kids first and putting the behemoths first, right? One has to make sure that, you know, what the goal is. And that was the nekuda of Reuven Gad, right? Negazesh alavas hamamon perechu bosei b'chol adaros. What every generation, we have focus on something else other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, there's no cheta egel. If there's anything, a central part of my life as an ends and not a means, that's avodah zara. Hakol yodim shabayishini char beglal sinas chinam. Ach ma garam ososa sinah. Sinas chinam. There's no such thing as sinas chinam. Sinah was caused by something. Maybe it's sinah that's not appropriate, but chinam. Mipnei shayu oavim es hamamon v'sonim ish es re'ehu, says the Tosefta. Avas hamamon novas me'enochiyus. Focused on loving money and assets is a focus on myself. Focus on my own status. If I focus so much on me, that's my mele, going to live to sinas chinam. So sinas chinam, the root of sinas chinam is a focus on me. It's ahava of me and my own stuff. It's still dancing amongst us. Then he continues, and he quotes, "Mineged zecharad Rav Kook v'hu tina lefnei ha'aderet." Rav Kook was nervous about this mida that sometimes appears in our nation, and he said in front of the aderet, "Chotno et sa'aro." He said in front of the aderet, his father-in-law, "Shuchoshesh b'mashenemer b'sifrei azinu shamanta avisa kasisa." So he thought those were three stages. Three stages of the assets. What is shamanta? You became fat, avisa, thick, kisisa. Elu gimel doros shalefne yemos hamashiach. Shenemar v'tamale arzo kesev izav. Ein katzel otrosav. V'tamale arzo susim v'ein katzel markavosav. There's no... Hanavi matzeh gimel shlavim shel hidar derut musarit. The Navi presents here three stages of an ethical going down. Parishonim ismali zaris b'kesev izav. First is much... There's much plenty. Bishlav Hasheni, Bisusim, Ubimerkavos, horses, Bimachonios, Bishar Motzere Mutaros. Extra things. Ubishlav Hashlishi, Ofchem Akesav Azov, Atzmam Lelohim, Shadam Sogeid Bahem. Right? The third is when we start worshipping the Gashmias. Rav Kook was very choshesh, for this, even though he saw the Geula in front of him, but he was choshesh. But we have to recognize, whatever we have, the message of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven is whatever we have, it's a means. Whatever we have, as we said in the first part, Zeh HaDavar, Asher Tziv HaShem. Zeh HaDavar. Right? The next page, he quotes the story, the Gemara, Anshe Knesset HaGadola, Bitlu Es Yitzra Da'Avodah Zarah, Achlo Es Yitzra Da'Arayis, Es HaYitzra Imenu Mista'afos HaNehenatonut V'Avas HaMamon. Right? There's still a Yitzra. There's a Taiva out there. And we have a Taiva. We have to make sure the Taiva is in check, and the taiva is something that could be used positively, right? The drive to amass the chivshuha and to conquer, you know, that's a good thing. As Chazal said, even by Arayas and the Yetzer is a good thing, as long as it's channeled properly. Reuven and God in that story says, the midarke haparsha here, that it wasn't channeled properly, and therefore it was looked upon negatively, obviously, by Moshe Rabbeinu, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the like. Okay. We continue the end of Perek Lamed Beis. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Again, we have build your cities, but then you have to come with us. So, Reuven and God built these cities. God built Divon, Ataros, Aroer, Atros Shofan, Beit Nimra, Beit Haran. Reuven built Cheshbon, El Alei, all of these, cities that are mentioned at the end of the parsha. If you look in the Gemara, and Rabbeinu Bachai quotes the Gemara, that some of these names, right? God built Divon, Ataros, Aroer, Atros Shofan. Are these such important psukim? Are these such significant psukim? These are the psukim, though, that Chazal tell us. Some of the psukim. There's others also. When Chazal tell us the Eftu Shnai Mikra, the Echa Targum, even psukim like Ataros V'Divon, right? Our cities. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, L'chein Amru Chazal, L'olam Yashalon the Parshiyos V'Matibur. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that we have to do Shnai Mikra. Shnai Mikra V'Echa Targum. Afilu Ataros V'Divon. What's that Afilu? Why are those psukim mentioned? Pashtus, those seem like quote unquote boring psukim, not significant psukim. His kirakas of azeh lefi sheish ben shema shel avodah zara. These are even cities that are named after idolatry, avodah zara. Shalo tomar kivan shahatargum upirish akasuv. Since the targum is explaining, ein lano letargim apasuk azeh kiish bozi karan avodah zara. Maybe we shouldn't use this targum because it reminds people of avodah zara. Al kain bo chachamim lomar. The chacham came along and said, no. Sha'af b'pasuk azeh roi laskiro shelo hakabo. Even this pasuk, you say, it's a pasuk in Chumash. It's a pasuk in Chumash. V'tzorach she'iz bonein ki od yesh bebinyan arim elu u'bishmosan inyan nistar. There are secret ideas behind every word and name that's used in the Torah. V'akazav azeh yivar b'tachtonim v'yirmoz be'elyonim b'shemos habinyan ha'elyon. There are words that we have here in the Torah, but the symbolism of these words, we can't even fathom. We can't even imagine the symbolism. Uma, skip line 10. Uma sheviu lanu chachmei ha'emes rai mipasik zeh, shiashlam on the parshios of matzivit ha'mekav ha'chatargum. Right, the fact that the Chazal Dafka picked this, these words and psukim, ha'kavana l'shalosh ha'kasev u'v'lekroso shalosh pa'amim lisbonein, ba'osan shalosh malos. Think about the depths of every pasuk. Ki afilu pasuk hamora al shemos ha'arim ve'im botzor gadol kol kach. You might think that it's not such a need to say this pasuk, just names of cities. Lefi ha'ole betchilas ha'machshava, like we'd think when we would first think about this pasuk. Timsa bo inyan gadol ve'ikar shakol talibo. Can't imagine. Can't imagine every word and letter of the Torah symbolizes something so deep. Lefi shakol ha'torah kula kesher echad u'binyan echad. The whole Torah Shebichsav is a package, is a unit, was dictated. Vein hefrish bein parshas alufei Esav uvein ataros v'divon v'adom alahem. And there's no difference from the upper world's perspective between the alufei Esav or ataros v'divon uvein aseres adibros. And the aseres adibros, there's no difference mitzad looking down. Ki akol me'ikar echad u'mimotzi echad. It's all from one source. U'mimav min hamikdash heim yotzim, and its waters flow from the Beis Hamikdash. V'kula nitnu me'roa echad, as the Gemara darshins also in Chagiga on Daf Gimel or so, and that's biur hakasav of these psukim. We have to realize that there are so many different levels of understanding of every word. Right? He doesn't get into it fully, but this is what the Ramban discusses, that we have Torah on a certain level, but we realize that there's so many deeper levels. Like he said before, Rabbeinu Bachai said, from our perspective, Aseres HaDibros has more significance than these psukim. From Hashem's perspective, from up above, no, it's all deep. There are so many levels. We've spoken about that Ramban. The Ramban in the Hakdama to the Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula Shmosev Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is also related to the Radvaz that I like to quote. I gave it to you again in Source 8 and 9, where the Radvaz was asked. Right, I gave you the answer. The question was, why can't we have nekudos, vowels, in the Torah? Right? It will make it much easier for the Baal Koreh. We know the vowels come from a very, very ancient source, right, going all the way back. So why can't you write in the Torah? Why can't you write in the Torah? So he starts off the Radvaz, contemporary of the Beis Yosef. The Radvaz starts off by quoting the Gemara in Shabbos that we know that the Malachim wanted the Torah, but Hashem says no. Says to Moshe, you answer them. No, they're going to burn me. Hold on to the Kisi HaKavod. And Moshe starts going through all the Aseres HaDibros, proving that the Torah is not relevant to the Malachim. So ask the Radvaz, the question that many ask, line 7. V'yesh lahakshos, v'chi ha-malachim lahoyo yodim ha-tshuva zu. Right, the Malachim didn't know this answer. Oh, lo sirtzach, doesn't apply to us. Oh, lo sinaf. They knew that answer. So what was the Havamina? What was the angel's Havamina? Elamayis l'chalameimar. Shema Yukorin Batorah Kriya Acheres Ruchanit below piece of Tevos, right? Maybe they didn't read the Torah like that. They read it in a different way. That is a more spiritual type of reading. Below piece of Tevos, right? You put all the words to put all the letters and the words together. You could cut it in different ways. Al derach shmosef shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Ramban says. Right, the Ramban was a couple hundred years before the Radvaz. Right, like the Ramban says about all the Torahs, most of it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein amar azal, kol HaTorah kula, shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hu di'em HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sheish l'Torah kriya acheres, gashmus, al derech pisuk tevos ben yonah b'nei adam. Right, Hashem, through Moshe, was telling the angels, no, this is a reading that has to be true. And that's why the Torah has to go to the earth. V'tumah v'tara, v'isr v'heter, pater v'chiyah, v'chein kol shar dineha. But once this is true, that the Torah could be understood on so many different levels, that should answer your question why we can't have nekudos. Tavin she'elascha. Kitziva hakel yis'aleh she'yichtavu asa Torah below nekudos uta'amim. Write the Torah without nekudos. Kasher ha'isa ba'amna ito yisbrach, like it was up in Shamayim, in its pristine original state. Kedeshiyu bashte krios. Ruchanis v'gashmes. So that the Torah could be understood on the Gashmi level. What is Gashmi? Gashmi here means on the human level with the words that we say, Bereshis, Bara, Elokim, S, and the Ruchani level on a deeper level. However, we don't know how to read it, the Torah, on a Ruchani level. Kadesha, Misha, Yachol, Lahasig, Yasik. So the one who really wants to delve and understand, he can. V'chein Amru. That's what Chazal say about Bezalel. Yodea haye Bezalel letzarif osil shen iru b'hem shamayim v'aretz. Yodea knew how to put together the letters of Bria Shamayim. Umasar anekudos v'hat ta'amim kishar Torah shebal peh. Shehu pirish l'Torah shebechsav min anekudos v'hat ta'amim. He knew all of this. V'hadavar yadua, says the Radvaz now, line 10. This is a yesodostik Radvaz. Ki osios below nekudos v'ta'amim yesh b'hem mashmo'o yos harbe. The letters without nekudos, without vowels, have so many different ways you can interpret and read it. The tzirufim shonim, the krios hefchios, even opposite readings. V'lachein, that's exactly why, lo nitnu anekudos v'tamim l'katzeh b'sefer Torah. V'yichtuvu b'chumashim, you're right in the chumash, v'shumeis lasos l'ashem, k'dei shelo tishtakech, Torah sakriya, k'shar Torah shemal peh. You have to write the nekudos in a printed chumash so that we know it, we know how to read it. And it's not for Gaon, but in the Torah, no, in the Torah not. Torah not, because there are so many different levels of understanding. Sheyesh lecha lahamin, she'ein lecha afilu teva ktana, she'ein basodos amukos vitzirufim. There's in one little letter and word that doesn't have deep secrets. Shalom nasige manachlo, that we don't understand. Ve'ein lecha batar afilu os achash lo tzorach lo letefer sakriya v'chulu. And then he quotes in the next paragraph a beautiful line, shahanakud hutsura v'neshama Laosios. It's the soul. And if we would put nekudos in, that would put a limit on the understandings of darshaning. Right? But, line 29, Mipnesha, Sefer Torah, Balul, Umuvlau, B'chol Mine Shlemus, right? The Torah is filled up with all types of perfection. U'b'chol Milu Umila, Nitlim Batile Tilim, and every letter has mountains and word, has mountains of understandings. Lo nase minukadim, kadeshi had nidrash b'chol minei shlemus. And that's what it says at the end, shivim panam la'torah v'havein. So that is, again, relating to these psukim of the end of Matos, of Ateres and Divon and Aroer, all of these that don't seem to be the most exciting psukim, but that's the message that we take from the Radvaz. Every letter, every word is something that we have to treasure. And from Rabbeinu Bachai. Okay, so we have to get into Masay a little bit also. Masay, beginning of Parshas Masay, Eileh, Masay, B'nai Yisroel. We've spoken about these first two psukim a number of times, and we will again this year. Eileh, Masay, B'nai Yisroel, Asher Yatzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. These are the Masos, these are the travelings that B'nai Yisroel did when they left Mitzrayim. Litziv Osam, according to their armies, beyond Moshe V'Aaron, in the hands of Moshe and Aaron, with the authority of Moshe and Aaron. Moshe wrote their goings out to their travelings, al pi Hashem. And then it flips it. So many in the past, and this year we'll do another. What exactly is this Pasuk base talking about? Moshe wrote their motzaos l'masehem al pi Hashem, And these are the Masayhem Lamotzaihem. What exactly is the repetition here? What's the repetition? Says the Ksav Sofer. Source number 10 says the Ksav Sofer. Ela Masay Bnei Yisrael Sheyatzam Eretz Mitzrayim. Beyond Moshe V'Aaron. So the first pasuk, right? These are the travelings of Bnei Yisrael. They went out from Eretz Mitzrayim beyond Moshe V'Aaron. Right? Moshe and Aaron. Next pasuk. Vayichto Moshe. Es Moseyim L'Masayim Api Hashem. Ve'ela Masayim L'Motzayim. Psukim Elu Tzrichim Biur. What exactly is going on here? Va'omer. Hinei. Mipnei Mishum. Shelo he'eminu ki hotzi'a mimitzrayim v'hisra'amu v'chatu b'tluna v'shiluach meraglim. B'nei Yisrael complains. B'nei Yisrael complained. Did we really come out of Mitzrayim? L'chein nis'akvu kol kach b'midbar v'nasu kol kach masos l'fnei malachareim. Right? That's why they were punished by staying in the Midbar for so long. V'siba shelo he'eminu. Why? What do you mean they didn't believe? And they had to send Meraglim, and they didn't trust. Chasav Aramban, Parshas Beshalach, Shechashvu, Shemoshe Midas Atzmo, Asakalela. Maybe this was Moshe. Maybe Moshe did it. Moshe comes back, he performs all these miracles, and then he takes us out. V'lohaya Baratzon Hashem She'itzu Mimitzrayim. Who says? Maybe they knew that story with Ephraim earlier. Remember, Ephraim left early, and they were beaten. Who says this is the time they were supposed to go out? V'lohaya Baratzon Hashem She'itzu Mimitzrayim. Moshe comes, he says, I'm doing it in the name of Hashem, but it was Moshe. V'hinei, im be'emes lo haya shalach Hashem shluchim, ela haya nosan b'leif paro shi'ashalchim. If Hashem wouldn't have performed the makos, but he would have just put into Paro's heart the opposite of what he did, not to harden it, but to soften it, if Paro would have sent us out. Me artso. V'hevi alav makos, o yugamki ma'aminim, shim eis Hashem ma'isazos. If there were no shluchim, if Moshe and Aaron weren't involved, right, it was just Hashem would believe Paro that we should go out after the Makos, so we would believe. Me Hashem asazos. Ve'elu v'zeu sha'amar ve'elu masei b'nei Yisrael. Zehu agorim shenasu kol kach asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. B'shvil sheyatzu ede Moshe v'Aaron ede shluchim elu. They didn't believe Hashem was involved in it. They believed maybe Moshe and Aaron were in charge. And they took them out, says the Ksav Sofer. The lo hotziya Hashem ba'atzmo, v'lachein chashu machshavu zaros ubo l'chalzeh. That's what caused them to sin. Because what did the first pasuk say? Eilu masim ne Yisrael sheyatzem etzraim l'siv osam, b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. The yichtov Moshe motza ehem, v'yichtov Moshe l'motza ehem l'masehem api Hashem. What does that second pasuk now mean? Pirish. Sakasa Moshe Batora ki Hashem motzi ehem lemasei ki haya motzi ehem lemasei ehem kemoshe matzi ehem haya api Hashem velomi das atzmo asaklum. Just like the masaos were obviously Yad Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu cannot make a whole nation and help a nation exist in the desert without anything, the man and the be'er. So just like the masei ehem, kein haya motzi ehem. Me'achar she'nira lakol ki Hashem asa lehem nisim b'midbar b'mon be'er v'anani akavod v'roash kachasu aleihem. Once they saw the existence of the midbar, which Moshe couldn't have done, mizeh yuvan lakol ki meis Hashem ha'isazos she'atzu mi'mitzrayim b'akol mi'yad Hashem mitchilas v'atzov. Only once they had the masos, then they properly understood the hotzah. Ve'ela masehem raya l'motzaihem shahayu api Hashem. So, again, the first pasuk is, these are the masos that went out of Mitzrayim, b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. That's what they thought originally. But v'yichtov Moshe, Moshe wrote, es motzoihem, l'masehem, the Moseyim went into the masehem, and that was clearly up Yashem. So therefore, ve'ela masehem, l'motzoihem. These masos function as a raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge to teach them, even the motzoihem, was in charge. Part one. Then we continue, and he says, maybe it's the same idea based on the Medrash. Ubezeh yuvno divrei ha-Medrash tanchuma. Shevi kan hadehu dechsev nachisa katzon amcha b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. The pasuk says on that you led sheep. You led your am like sheep in the hands of Moshe and Aaron. V'tamua, what exactly does that mean? You led like with sheep like Moshe and Aaron. V'nirali dekra mamshil anhagas Moshe v'Aaron k'mana katzon. The pasuk compares Moshe and Aaron's hanhaga to a sheep. Why? Ki haroetzon manhig es hatzon l'tovasam l'makom mireh. The manhig, the shepherd, is manhig, leads the sheep for their good to a makom mireh, to a fertile area. Kasher motzei tov lifnehem. Fatzoni nerosa lelechachav. Sometimes the sheep want to stay where they are, and the shepherd is pushing them, and the sheep's like, what are you doing? I like it here. And they don't know. The sheep doesn't know that there's a wolf that comes around at night and that you're going to run out of grass. The kofetz mi makom la makom b'chozel achorav. The sheep's jumping away. Kieno mevin shel tovaso molichem oso. He doesn't know that if it's for his goodness. The chen Moshe ve'Aaron hayaro Yisrael. They were shepherds. B'nai Yisrael like, really? Is this good to go out in the desert? La tovas la nasa b'nai Yisrael olichem l'miratov la'eretz Yisrael la'eretz avaskalav v'dvash. They kept complaining. How many times? They didn't realize they're good. That's nachisa kitzon amcha b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. And it wasn't Moshe v'Aaron. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously. So that's all one idea. Again, they understood the motzaihem based on the masehem, and that's the medrash about the sheep. Once he quotes this medrash, he quotes another pshat, separate pshat of the medrash. Od yesh lafarish divrei medrash hanal ki al harov baal hatzon moser hatzon l'roe. Most of the time, the owner of the sheep isn't the one on the fields and the mountains. The owner of the sheep gives it to a shepherd. Asher yareim kirtzono, and the shepherd takes him wherever he wants. Kadov b'nei haro, wherever the shepherd wants. Aval misha chas b'yoser hatzono, but if somebody really loves their sheep, Mashkiach aleihem gam imhei b'yad haroeh. Right, if somebody loves their sheep, they're on top of the shepherd. They're not letting him make his own decisions. Umitzave l'roeh be'eza makom mireh yinahalim. He tells the shepherd exactly where to go. V'yir aim v'yish tadel l'tovasam tamid. V'enosomecha l'roeh. He doesn't just rely on the shepherd. Yeah, take him, I trust you. No. He wants him to, he has a personal involvement. V'chein noag Hashem imo. Shemasu b'yad Aram ne'aman and Moshe v'Aaron were the shepherds. The Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't just say, go wherever you want. Mikom akom lo hiniach Hashem shinalu es amo kito b'nehem. They didn't make any decisions. Ela al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yiso. That's the pasuk. Nachisa kitzon amecha, shenachisa ba'atzmacha tzoncha. By the Moshe Aaron, you kept a hand in. V'heim hayu mitzubin v'omdim eis Hashem al atzon be'eis amokim min aleim. You are the one. And that's the Medrash. And now, again, either of those fit into the first pshat of, they realize now the Masos are Megala on the Motzos. Okay. One final thought on the Haftorah. I had one thought on the Haftorah last week. That was the Haftorah for Matos, the first of the Shalosh de Paranusa. So now we have the Haftorah of Maaseh, right? The Haftorah for last week was Perek Aleph of Yirmiyo. This is Perek Beis of Yirmiyo. Before we get into the following week, Perek Aleph of Yishayo. So we have one phrase towards the end of the Haftorah. One phrase towards the end of the Haftorah where the Pasuk says that we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and towards all the way at the end of Perek Beis. Omrim la'etz aviyata v'la'even ata yelidatanu kifanu elai oref v'lo panim. What does that mean? Hashem is giving us tochacha. They turned panu alai, they turned to me oref, the back of the neck, velo panim, and not their face. Panu alai oref velo panim. Says the Rabbi Bernstein in his new Sefer, just came out recently, From Ruins to Redemption. Emmanuel Bernstein came out. So he talks about this Haftorah. So he says, today, when idol worship is largely a thing of the past, as we noted before, these words may not seem to be addressing us directly, this whole story. Having said, I didn't read the other psukim, where it's anti-Avodah Zarah. Having said that, it's not hard to find more timely substitutes for things we might consider to be the ultimate source of our success. However, there's a message towards the end of the Haftorah that applies equally to all ages, transcends any time or milieu, and is deserving of our particular attention. Yirmiyo says this pasuk that I just read, Kifanu elai oref, they turn to me back of the neck, below panim and not face. They turn their back to me, not their face. Right, panu alai oref, they turn their back to me, right, their face to the back. However, if Shnei Zalman of Ladi, the Balatanya, says, read it closer, beckons to Pandavas closer, panu elai, they face me, seems to indicate that the peaceful people are facing Hashem. Panu elai, they turn to me. How then can the verse continue to say that they have their backs to him? right? Says Rishnei Zalman, you could be turned to God, but have your back to God. Rishnei Zalman answers that the rebuke is over the fact that the people are facing Hashem, yet they still have their backs turned to Him. It's possible to be face to face with someone and still feel that he is distant, not really connected to or engaged in the encounter. This is how the people described their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would turn to Hashem, but they weren't connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the one hand, they're doing mitzvahs with due consideration to their laws and details. And to that end, they're referred to as facing Hashem. We go through the motions of Torah and mitzvahs and Shabbos and Kashrus. At the same time, we've turned their back, for their mitzvahs are distant and devoid of inner content. So we could turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if we're not connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're lacking something. The 3 weeks are at a time when we reflect on the Churban, and we're mindful that the ultimate goal of the Beis HaMikdash is for the Shechina to reside not into the Beis HaMikdash, but obviously Vasili Mikdash, V'Shachanti B'Socham. Right? The goal is B'Socham, B'Socham Lecha V'Echa. That's where the Shechina has to be in us. We have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be connected with Him. Right, and not to have our backs to Him, even when we are facing Him. Part of the contemplation, he says at the end, in which we engage during the 3 weeks, would be well directed towards this idea. It does not take much to instill the divine presence into one's heart. It's waiting to enter. If we just notice absence and lament its loss, we've already allowed for its return. If we have in mind to restore inner content, the connection to our relationship with Hashem and His mitzvahs, to come to face Hashem with our faces, then we can anticipate that He'll return to face us back. Kane Yehi Ratzon. We'll stop here.